I'm going to pick back up and come back to a place where I think the Lord gave me a word of both encouragement and caution for us concerning these things. But as you can tell, we look a lot at sickness and what God's doing in the midst of sickness. So let me just throw out a couple of conclusions we've made, and I hope they'll ring true with you. And first off is God did not give you a body that was intended to deteriorate. God numbered your days. He truly, before the beginning of time, for each one of you who was in him, he numbered your days. And those days are numbered. We know a couple of times in Scripture where they were extended, but those days are numbered. And it doesn't make sense in the economy of God, where he gives us everything we need to be all that he created us to be, that he would give you a body that would naturally fail. Now, there are sicknesses in Scripture. We know there's sickness due to sin. James says, if you're sick, call the elders. They'll come. They'll anoint you with oil. Your sins will be forgiven and you'll be healed. So there's clearly that. There is sickness for the glory to God. Who sinned? This child or his parents? Jesus said, neither. For the glory of my Father. Evidently, there must be something called sickness unto death, because the Lord declared that Lazarus's was not that. Now, my understanding of a sickness unto death would be a sickness that would accompany me up until my time of death. Like a thorn in the flesh, if you would, for Paul. But it would be something that would be there forever. But I don't die from being sick. No one ever died from cancer. No one ever died from gunshot. No one. Those are natural circumstances that appear. Why do we die? We come to life when God puts his spirit in a fertilized egg and it touches blood. That's the only reason anyone comes alive. So the only reason anyone dies is because the spirit leaves this body, and the only thing that dies is this body. If you'll take hold to that, oh death, where's that sting? If you want to be free from the fear of death, understand who is sovereign over death. Then it doesn't matter. What could I do to change the circumstances if God said tomorrow was my day? So why even trouble myself with it? And this is where we, as the children of God, have to come to. God rejoices in the death of a saint. And we live in fear of it. That's sin. You're in disagreement with God. We have to come to the place that we understand that he numbered our days. And maintaining this mortal life is not the goal.
Right.
Don't overvalue the things of the natural.
Amen.
Amen.
You need to be free from that. I have a sneaking suspicion that there's a better place than this one right here. And I'm not just talking about DFW.
Are you talking about Texas?
That's a tough one, Barry. But this calling that God has given this group of people we're getting to walk with is about improving our quality of life and freeing us from the fear of the spirit of man and the spirit of death, that fear of death. And that's what we really do. And everything we talk about doing is talking about changing your quality of life, not extending it. We're not doing anything that will change longevity. I routinely meet with Ben and his practitioner, and I tell him, you people have no authority over life and death. I have it on pretty good authority that he said even Satan didn't. You can do anything you want to, but you cannot kill him. Now, people, God controls life and death. And he did it long, long ago. Before the beginning of time, he numbered each one of your days. And that's not going to change. He is the author of life and death. And we should not fear it. It should have no control. God never intended for anything to have dominion over us. we were to be given dominion over fish and fowl and the things of nature, but it shouldn't have dominion over us, and we can't let this thing of death have dominion over us. So don't hear anything I'm saying today about it being trying to maintain life. It's about maintaining a quality of life by stewarding those things that God gave you in an appropriate manner. Getting the most value out of this body. We should walk with God and be no more.
Yeah.
I mean, literally.
Yes.
If God knew how long I was going to live, it would not make sense for him to give me a body that would fail before the end of time. End of my time. Now, I've told people, you know, if I'd known this when I was 16, I'd have rode a few less broncs. Probably not tried to support the Jack Daniels Corporation. Some things would have been different. And so there's consequences of that that we have to, you know, live with. But our quality of life, from God's perspective, should be one that our body is a natural resource that is a portion of the grace that he has for us for our gifts and calling. So, as a result of that, I spend a lot of time looking in the scriptures to see about where sickness comes from. Okay. One of the things the Lord showed me last week was, you know, while there are those forms of sickness we talked about, nearly without fail, when Jesus would begin healing people, it was on the tail end of the gospel of the kingdom. And Jesus would go into a place and he would proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God, and then he would begin to heal people. And behind that, many times, there was instructions concerning sin, even to the degree of go and sin no more unless something worse might happen. So there's a real correlation between the order of the kingdom of God and wellness and sinning. Now, once again, let's go back and talk about what sin is. Sin is not an action. I could go to Sam's house and steal everything he had. Get all those good cigars, the best cognac and wine, and be mine. And people might say, I sinned against him. Now, there's no doubt he was harmed, and it was wrong for me to go do that. But the sin wasn't my stealing. The sin was my doubt that my God will give me everything I need. The doubt of the provision of God that would cause me to go take another man's stuff is what would force, is a real thing. For me disagreeing with God. We remember sin is a archery term. We go up to the archery range, we all shoot, they measure the distance from the bullseye out. If I'm farther off, they'd say my sin was greater than yours. It's a geometrical measurement of space. With our Father in heaven, anytime we're not in agreement with him, we're sinning. He judges our hearts. What motivates us to do these things, not our actions. Our actions are the fruit of our sin. Those contrary thoughts with God long enough will produce an action that is measured as a fruit of sin, not the sin itself. So we have to get to the place where we are in full agreement with our Father. That's why it says our minds need to be renewed so that our character can be transformed. The only reason our minds need to be renewed is because we're wrong. We have a standard that is inaccurate. And this is what Sam's been talking to us about for years now, this coming forward of a standard of accuracy to the point of the exact representation of our Father. And so we have to get to that place. The natural effect of disease in our body, as I said before and what Lucy was asking about, much of it comes from these areas, or God is trying to get my attention in these areas where I disagree with him, where my lack of understanding is. And that's one of, now he's probably tried other methods before, but in my stiff-necked nature, I would not hear the Holy Spirit, and so he had to bring me to a place of my circumstances being set such that it gets our attention. God's well aware that our fear of death is huge too. And that's what will creep in there. He will allow your enemy to bring a fear on you to get your attention about something. So many times he's caught my attention through something of sickness. But I just want to go back to this one thing. When you hear all the things that we're doing at Veritas and all that, always understand, we acknowledge fully that everything we're doing, everything we're trying to, the portion of the culture, the piece of the mountain of God that we get the privilege of representing, and the culture that we're wanting to change has nothing to do with life and death. It only deals with quality of life and stewardship of this body that God has given you. We also want this, because the counterfeit that's in the world will make an idol out of not being sick and trying to live forever. Now that's the perversion. We don't want to overrate that in any way. We want to be faithful and stewarding it, but not to make an idol out of keeping your body healthy. Because that's the counterfeit. So, last piece of this. Some of you are aware, some of you may not be. A couple of weeks ago, Nancy underwent emergency gallbladder surgery. We started Sunday a week ago, I guess. She woke up about 1 o'clock Monday morning and was in excruciating pain. Carried on. She stayed in that pain until Tuesday morning at 7:45 when they rolled her into surgery. A couple of worst days of my life because she was in terrible pain and there was absolutely nothing I could do to bring comfort to her. And she spent that time in the hospital and it was really, really, really difficult. Now the background of this story is for about a year and a half, 2 years now, she's had a couple, maybe three little flare-ups that would last about 2 hours and then go away. And her goal was to maintain that gallbladder. God gave it to me. It has to be of value. I'm going to keep it. And so she went through, with her practitioner, went through several steps of cleanses and flushes and diet modification and things like that to maintain her gallbladder until it came to a point. I told somebody about 5:30 Monday morning after 4.5 hours of this pain, she was ready to give it up. She could take that again. So we went through the surgery Tuesday and I'm quite sure nothing happens by chance. So Wednesday morning when I arose, I thought, I got to talk to my father about this and see what the deal is. So I went to God and I said, okay, I know you're teaching us something. Let me understand what it was you wanted us to see in this matter. And he showed me first in the natural and then in the spiritual. And it's basically when the surgeon, by the way, it's a good thing Nancy didn't look real close at this. This surgeon she has, and thank God for laparoscopic surgery these days where they go in with a small thing. This guy had hands about 3 times as big as mine. And I thought, what made you think God made you be a surgeon with clubs like that? So, if he tipped over through your tulips, you were going to know it. But the surgeon came out when he talked to me. He said, that's the largest gallbladder I've ever seen. He said, it's full of stones. And he said, those three little attacks she had, says, what happens when your gallbladder gets inflamed, it'll fire up, and then when it cools off, it sets up like concrete. And so she had regions of concrete, and soft tissue, and concrete, and soft tissue. He said, consequently, when I went in and grabbed it with this laparoscopic tool, it ruptured. He dumped all that bile and stones into her body cavity. So he had to spend quite a while cleaning up this mess that was made by her trying to hang on to this gallbladder. So when I went to the Lord and began to talk about it, I recalled all those things that the surgeon had said. And God said, you know, her gallbladder got that way during the first 40 years of her life when she ate like all West Texans eat. Everything double dipped in grease, and
covered with butter and gravy, such things as that. And that out of a lack of understanding, a poor diet had caused stress on her body that produced this gallbladder. So when he began to talk to me about the things, and then, of course, her desire to maintain it created this critical situation she got into where the pain was could not be ended, and then the subsequent cleanup that she had to go through. So when we went to the Spirit, he said, and you know, not by her own choice, but in the sphere of people that we deal with, a lot of people keep their eyes on my wife. They watch me and see because of her sincerity toward the things of God and her faithfulness toward me and just the outstanding person. She is
that.
People watch her very close, and God will use her to demonstrate things for people. And he said, so I want you to listen closely to what this meant in the Spirit. For about the same period of years, in our understanding of the things of God, we had lived without true understanding. We had done what all us Texas Christians had done. And we'd fed on things that lacked revelation knowledge. Came into a point of our life where real revelation came in, true understanding came into our life. And we began to change. And this is a representation of us, but also of the whole body of Christ. We tend to want to hang on to some of that stuff from the past. Some of the stuff that has no value. Some of the things that we have given an artificial value to based on our lack of understanding back then, and we want to hang on to it. Even as we're moving forward, we want to hang on to it. Some of y'all remember the story about the vision God gave me about the fresh water and the sewer water, and he asked me how much fresh water would he need to put in that sewer water to get me to drink it. Of course, there's not enough. How many drops of sewer water would go into the fresh water? I said, none. This is the way this thing is with this. We cannot hang on to those things that did not come from our Father. They are worthless. Some people would call it rubbish. Those things are without value. Nancy suffered a huge price because of her desire to hang on to that gallbladder. But God used it as a caution, but also an encouragement to us as the body of Christ when he showed me this revelation that the additional clean out, if you will, that was required was because she hung on to that. The same is going to be true in us. This exact representation that we're in right now, God is currently revealing anything and everything in us that is not exactly like him. And when he reveals it, there's only one thing we can do, and that's let go of it. Any attempt to hang on to anything that is not of him in you is going to result in bigger cleanup, more painful, more stressful, longer recovery, cleanup. We go through it. So my caution to you is this, simple. Know that God sent you into your room, to establish each one of you in your seat of authority that supports your gifts and calling and your destiny. And find yourself at peace in Christ, in your room, in your authority. But when God comes and reveals, draws back the drape, begins to put you on display in your sphere of influence, and he shows us something about ourselves that is not like him, our immediate response has got to be repentance. Change my mind. Let me see this the way you see it so as not to suffer this.
Amen. Yeah?